Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Good morning, Keith.
What up? They got me asking in my ear, why isn't LeBron the most pressure? He already won the chip. What is in L.A.? There's no pressure.
What exactly would the pressure be for LeBron? I guess internal pressure, because he's always said he's chasing Jordan. He'd like to get those chips. But that's internal, not external pressure.
So Jordan's at six. What is LeBron, four?
Four.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But if LeBron plays long enough, he could be a part of teams. Maybe not the best player, but a part of teams that win seven or eight chips if he sticks around long enough.
But does he really want to hang out for another 6 years?
Do the Bill Walton, remember when he was on the Celtics coming off the bench?
No, but Bill Walton, that wasn't at the end, right?
But he was
was the in at the Celtics.
Yeah. But Bill Walton was no longer.
But Bill Walton was playing and he got hurt again.
But he was no longer the Bill Walton who'd won league MVP.
Well, you're talking about Bill Walton from Portland.
Yes.
He was like 7 years old.
But
man.
This is what I'm saying.
You mean GP3? GP3. No, Lord have mercy.
I mean, GP3? Who are you talking about?
Gary Payton III. And it's so
Gary
many.
Payton? Who
Gary Payton. But I put Chris Paul and all that together.
GP3.
But you mean like Gary Payton or Shaq at the end?
No.
When Shaq
I'm saying,
chilling on the bench.
The reason I picked, put it this way. LeBron
Shaq
could be
was in Cleveland on the bench, though. He didn't want to go home. That's all that was.
But LeBron could be a valuable starter for years and years and years because of his overall game, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, of course.
But so he could be a real contributor on
But does he want to play another 6 years?
How long is it going to take Bronny to make the league, right?
That's the 24 is the draft for him, I think.
So give him a year with Bronny, three more years.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, can he win 2 and 3?
Tough to be Bronny, man. Even if you turn out really good, like, usually it works the other way. Bobby Bonds, excellent player. Ken Griffey, excellent player. These are all-star players. But their kids, Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr., two of the best players of all time.
But
when your dad's the best player of all time,
it's going to be tough to be that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough to be
even
that.
If you go to five all-star games, it's not the same.
It's so funny you said that. So I was hosting a party in L.A. 2 weeks ago for USC when we released our collective over at Delilah. So Jerry Rice's son plays at USC. So he was there. So I'm talking to him, right? I'm sitting there saying to myself, he ain't gonna never be your dad. You know, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, good. But I'm literally talking to the young man, and in my head, I'm like, you look like Jerry in the face, but I don't think you ever go. Because
how can you? The standard's
standard
ridiculous.
Is so high that it's just like there's nothing you can do about it.
Who's the parent who set the highest standard?
And a kid that, came after him
and at least
same
came
thing?
Close or did the same thing or exceeded them. I'm trying to think of who that would be.
I have no idea at the top of my head.
The highest standard who had a kid who played in that league.
Because
for junior.
No, Archie Manning. No, Peyton surpassed that. Archie was never Peyton.
Yeah, but Archie was good.
But he was never Peyton.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
They
right.
never won.
Yeah, yeah,
they
yeah,
never,
yeah.
never
like,
won.
Like the reason I bring up Bobby Bonds and Ken Griffey, they were stars in the 70s.
I mean, even when you think about baseball, Dale Curry and Stephen, it's like
not
the same.
They outstripped
I'm just thinking,
them by so
I'm
much.
I'm trying to think.
So who? What father hit the highest standard whose kid also played in the league? I don't mean Yogi Berra and Dale Berra, right? Baseball, like where
Dale Earnhardt maybe in NASCAR?
I don't know. Maybe.
You don't know enough about it.
Let's stick to baseball, basketball, football.
I'm just thinking. I'm just trying to think now that you have said that. Who?
Who could it be?
They were all brothers. Clay Matthews, Bruce Matthews, all of them were brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I would have to – this is going to take
the
me a couple,
siblings,
couple hours, I guess, to figure this one out.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Bobby Bonds was really good, but he wasn't league MVP.
Oh, and he wasn't Barry.
Yeah.
You know, and Ken Sr. wasn't Ken Griffey Jr.
Right, like who – I'm talking about Ken Griffey Jr. level. Who was like an MVP? This guy's an all-time great level, had a kid, and came close at least to matching that. Troy in Atlanta, we were just talking about the players – under the most pressure to win a championship in the NBA this year. Who you got?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good morning. I watch y'all every morning. But, you know, after the trades, you have to consider LeBron with AD. Now you got Beasley. You got Vanderbilt. You got D'Angelo Russell. You can't have all that talent and not win. And we all know he's trying to chase the greatest ever. But you just can't have all that talent.
Listen, Troy, years from now when they look back and they look at the roster, they're not going to be like, man, he had Beasley and Vanderbilt and D'Angelo Russell.
No.
They're going to say he had AD a nice little supporting cast.
But he already won.
He's already delivered.
His promise was to get the Lakers a championship, and he delivered.
I'd like to see him get another one just to shut up the bubble talk.
Well, the bubble talk is only coming from the people outside the bubble, outside the Lakers bubble.
Yeah.
Outside the Lakers bubble. That's hate. That's all that is. That's hate.
Let me say this. I agree that people need
because
to stop.
You can look at it two different ways, what? Max. No, but hold on. You can look at it two different ways. You can claim it's easier because no fans, no reality. But you also can claim it's stressful from a mental standpoint to have to lock in and be at the same place, the same hotel, the same food, walking down the same hallway, being in the same environment with no fans. It depends on who you are as a player.
And everyone had to play under the same conditions.
So and everyone
that
had
got
to play
to do
under
that?
The same
right,
conditions.
Yeah. But what people say is the Lakers didn't have to travel the way – but they would have had
and
to
neither
travel.
Neither did Denver.
But they didn't have the best record in the conference, so they would have had to travel for road games late in series and –
Okay, so what?
No, I agree with you. Price in Detroit, you're on with Keyshawn Johnson and Max Kellerman. This is Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
What's happening?
What's good? Yo, Max, I think you're tripping with Kevin KD on there. Like, he's already proven. He's a finals MVP. I think who's under the most pressure is CP3. This is the best team he ever had. Given what happened with the Clippers, given what happened with Houston, this is the best chance CP3's got. He got to deliver. Got to stay healthy. He got to deliver.
Best chance, and the meter is starting to go toward empty. So he's got to get it. You said it. He's not the same guy. He's long in the tooth. This year, maybe next year? To really be an important part of what they're doing. It's not like this is CP3 from Houston. I mean, think about it. He went from Houston to OKC to Phoenix. That was like 7 years ago, right? So it's starting to run thin. He's got to have this championship. He's got to have it.
If I'm trying to think of an analogy, like a super team that would add a star, who from the Kobe Shaq era never got a chip who was really great?
On the Lakers or just another team?
On another team, never got a chip but was a great player.
Tracy McGrady.
Okay. If Tracy McGrady, in the middle of the Kobe Shaq three-peat, would have been parachuted onto the Lakers, would that have meant the same thing?
Don't ask me about the Lakers.
Would that have meant the same thing?
I would love to have had him.
Of course. But and KD's better than McGrady, and McGrady was great. But KD is like McGrady 2.0, actually, right? There's similarities in terms of the length of the game. It wouldn't have meant the same thing as if, even if he swung.
Absolutely, it would have.
Come on.
What are
you
talking
lose.
About?
You can't
so
go
what?
To a team where you can't. Because then what's
so you
the point?
To tell
what
me,
does it prove?
Are you trying to tell me that I wouldn't have wanted to go to the Dallas Cowboys and line up opposite of Michael Irvin?
Football's different.
It's not different.
It is. Because
how is it different, Max?
Because football, the best team doesn't always win. In basketball, when you have a 73-win
team. The best
team
doesn't always win because guess what?
Because it's a
the Golden
it's a
State
one
Warriors
and
lost and they won 73.
Because it
stop.
Right, that was LeBron's greatest achievement.
The Lakers lost. Remember our team when we put GP3 on it? Well, we had
the
Gary
Pistons,
Payton,
yeah.
and we were not the best team?
No, I knew the.
Time out.
I was doing a show at the time. I got receipts. I was doing a show at the time called IMAX. I predicted the Pistons were going to sweep the Lakers. Everyone was crazy.
Stop, man.
The Lakers were struggling against the T-Wolves at the time, who didn't even have Cassell because he was hurt.
We wasn't the best.
Pistons had just been involved in
the
greatest defensive series ever against the Pacers.
We were not the best team?
No way. The Pistons were the greatest defensive team of all time, and I thought they were going to roll the Lakers. And they did.
If you asked anybody.
Shaq had the broken toe. He was jumping up straight up and down.
If you ask anybody in the NBA circle.
Yeah.
The Lakers were the better team, man.
Yeah, but I predicted they were going to get killed, and they did.
I predict it's going to rain outside at some point here in New York.
You know what, Key? This is right up your alley. You know why the Lakers have thought that way? Brand names. They had all the brand names.
It doesn't matter. You just
they
said.
They were not as impressive in the playoffs as the Pistons were.
Max Kellerman, you just said the best team doesn't always win. Correct. I just gave you an example of the best team that
But I disagree, because even at the time I thought they weren't as good as the Pistons. The Pistons were the best.
If somebody's on the line, take a lot, because I can't.
The Pistons
can't
in 04 were the greatest defensive team in the history of American team sports. There were no way they were going to lose to a Lakers team where Shaq was clearly compromised. Sham in Atlanta, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Sham.
Good morning, fellas. How's it going?
What's going on?
Good. Listen, if you're basing that question on today's current NBA and the rosters and how they're built, it can't possibly be the same expectation for a guy that's already won as they are for guys that haven't won.
Thank
you. Jokic and Tatum, those guys playing some of the best basketball. They lead the league and wins for their respective teams. Like, it's hands down got to be a higher expectation for those guys to have been playing as successfully as they have and to not win in the position that they're in. But I had a question for you guys. I don't know how Keyshawn doesn't diminish the championships that Durant has won when he's walking into the expectation of winning to the roster that he's walking into. That just doesn't
And they
really
didn't even
up.
Just throw the reason, roster the together. Reason, They've been the playing reason, together
reason,
for years.
The reason I don't diminish it is because there's no proof that they were going to win championships without him. There's zero proof.
Okay, that's true.
The only proof that I have is that they won with him.
Wait, wait, Keith, that's true.
That's it.
But you didn't need KD to walk in. They would have won it with Paul George. They would have won
it. I don't know that.
Of course. If you add an all-star to a team that wins 73 games and comes to play.
They won 73 games and lost.
Lost in game 7
I don't give
to the
a
best
damn.
Player
I
of his era
care.
On his greatest night.
I don't care
and
if it was game 17.
They won the championship the year before.
It does not matter. The proof is in front of us. Facts are facts, Max.
Key, there's a big difference between losing in game 7 of the last possession on a 73-win team and, say, getting beaten in 5 games like the Lakers did against the Pistons in 04. Big difference.
You lost, you lost. If you lose on a 70-yard field going in the end, you still lose.
And if you add an all-star player to that cast, they ain't going to lose. But they didn't just add an all-star. They added an all-time great.
I'm not going to diminish his championships based on him being parachuted in. I'm not going to do that.
Well, I
Because guess what?
Yes.
He still was the finals MVP. Twice.
He was.
And then the third time.
He didn't deserve both of them.
Whatever, he got him. And then the third time, if they wasn't all banged up and
hurt,
the
second time he deserved it.
He would have won the third chip there.
Yeah, of course.
So stop.
By the way, yes, if they would have kept the best team ever together, they would have continued to win championships.
And if we want to go into Brooklyn, he almost sent them home if it wasn't for a little rubber on the edge of the shoe.
And by the way, he did that. He did that
by himself
without Kyrie or James
Harden.
Yeah,
man.
Because I know he's the baddest dude around. I just want to see him win a championship when the deck's not completely stacked. Hey, is Lamar more likely to get an extension or to get traded? Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast.
with Lamar Jackson, there is going to be a lot of drama in the coming weeks, if not months.
He should stand firm, put his feet in the ground, and say, hey, look, I need the guaranteed money. I'm not willing to go ahead and play this thing out year to year.
If he decides they're not going to give me what I want, I don't want to be here, he needs to demand a trade.
Why would he take the discount in this situation when there are other viable teams that would treat him better and pay him every penny he wants? Like, why would you take less than that to stay with Baltimore?
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. This in honor of Diana Russini, ESPN NFL reporter, and Isn't She Lovely is, of course, about Stevie Wonder's baby daughter. Diana is a once again a new mother.
Yeah. Two years. What was I thinking?
Between the three of us, no one would guess that 16 weeks. If someone said, which one of these three had a baby 16 weeks ago, they'd guess Key or me, not you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's
so
why
much.
When she walked in, I'm like, nah.
No, not possible.
There's no way.
You know what it is for all those guys listening who are dads themselves? Like I think for women, yeah, of course, every woman wants to lose that baby weight. But the biggest part is the mental side of it, right? Like, our brains are nuts after we have kids. So if you can sort of reflect a little bit of your normal self, that is such a win. I'll take, hey, you seem like yourself more than heck you look in shape these days. So shout out to all the moms out there. Who
no one would have any idea.
Shed those pounds. It's hard, man. It's
not
hard,
to mention you probably
guys.
Haven't slept in about however many months
yes,
now.
Yeah,
between,
couldn't tell that either.
Between the work that she does for us, which is fabulous, and taking care of her babies. Of course, no sleep, man.
Yeah, no sleep.
You know who else isn't getting any sleep?
The New York Jets!
The Ravens front office.
What a transition. This is why you're a fabulous host,
hey, Matt. I'm eye candy. That's all this. Hey, listen, is Lamar about to get an extension or about to get traded?
I think Lamar's about to get tagged. I think that's the direction this thing is headed in. And look.
Which tag?
Exclusive. I think the franchise tag is where this thing is going. Obviously, there's options there, but, you know, the relationship at this point, look, I know he does a little bit of the Instagram stuff, but I think Lamar's handled this really well. And I know he doesn't have an official agent, but the NFLPA, they're guiding him here.
Yes,
the Players Association is listening, helping him. And look, I don't know how they're guiding him. I don't know what they're saying. But they must be pretty supportive of him going after that guaranteed money, because there hasn't been a lot of adjustment there. Because, look, a long-term deal would have been done at this point. But the Baltimore Ravens, they are all in on Lamar Jackson, and Lamar wants to stay in Baltimore. He wants to be there. He's been really open about that. So we'll see how this pans out, but it's certainly going to be the biggest story over the next few weeks, for sure.
And the great thing about him offensively is interesting. They're putting a decent staff together. I mean, they just got Willie Taggart coming from Colorado to be their running back coach. So they're moving things around. They moved T. Martin to the quarterback situation. So they're moving stuff around. I like his chances of going there, but they better not, in which I don't think they will, non-exclusive him on the tag.
Yeah.
Because if they did that, oh, it's over. It's a wrap. But they're not going to do that. They're not that – I don't think they're that naive to the fact that there's a number of teams – that would love to have Lamar.
You know, I was thinking about this last night, and I had this thought. I'm like, I think Keyshawn's going to agree with me on this. They hired Todd Monken, right, as the offensive coordinator. And look, we saw what he did in Georgia, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not even close to looking like those design run plays we saw Greg Roman do with Lamar. He's a pro-style offensive coordinator. He had some time in Tampa Bay with Jameis and stuff. But I thought that was a really interesting hire. Of how this is going to play, because I don't think pro-style offense with Lamar Jackson, what makes him so dynamic and what makes him so incredible is obviously his mobility and what he can do with his legs.
Well, I think what people fail to realize, when you go back to look at him at Louisville, he rushed for 1,500 yards. He threw for an average, probably rushed for 1,500 a year that he was there balling when he went to Heisman. But he also threw for about close to 4,000 yards in those years. And he was with Bobby Petrino, which essentially is a pro-style offense. I think what Harbaugh and company in Baltimore realize is that Greg Roman can only take them so far with his offensive philosophy, which worked to a degree. But you got to be able to expand the passing game. And it's not that Greg Roman is a bad offensive coordinator. Sometimes your knowledge of a certain thing can only go so far, right? It's like if in basketball, if all I know is the Duke offense, and then all of a sudden I want to run LMU stuff, I'm trying to do it from back in the day, running gun, and I can't implement it in. I can only do so much. And I think that they got to that crossroad where they said, in order for us to take the next step, we've got to do what some of these other teams are doing. They got fabulous running back
with their
or
mobile
quarterbacks.
Yeah.
We got to do some of that. Josh
Jalen
Allen,
Hurts,
we got to do some of that. Jalen
Hurts,
we got to do some of that. And Greg Roman can't do that with us.
Here's what I know. Anytime I've talked to defensive coordinators that are facing the Baltimore Ravens, Greg Roman and Lamar Jackson scared them.
Yes.
So, and I agree with so much of what you're saying about what Greg has done. He is a really good coordinator, and I personally thought he was the best match for Lamar Jackson. But Baltimore obviously has a philosophy now where they feel like they need to grow and take that next step and also try to get players to come to Baltimore, right? Because that's been a little bit of the issues here in the free agency. Wide receivers know the type of offense they're running. And it's not an offense that's
great
for a wide receiver.
You're going to get to your spot, and you're going to look back, and Lamar Jackson's going to be running around back there. Right.
But that's not right. On Lamar.
No, of course not.
That's on Greg Roman.
Right.
Like you said.
But that's what to Diana's
get,
point about
get,
wanting to attract
I get to my
receivers.
Spot. I turn around. Now I got a block. You know, yep. But that's what they do.
You're
speaking
a glorified downfield offensive lineman.
Somehow. I like that you drive as a receiver, too.
You got to. Yeah, it's frustrating. Yeah. Trust me, as a receiver, you out there like a cardboard cutout.
Yeah.
The Jets. What are the Jets gonna do? Are they gonna continue to have conversations with Carr?
Yeah.
Is Aaron Rodgers out of the bunker?
So he's still in darkness, from what I can
I thought
gather.
It was only 4 days. It's been like a week.
So everything, it's pretty much a domino effect with Aaron Rodgers with all the quarterbacks here, because everyone's watching to see what he's going to decide to do. There are some people in the Green Bay organization who want to see Aaron Rodgers come back, obviously. I think there are others who want him to come back, but it's got to be adjusted a bit on how he handles things, how he handles himself, how he goes about the offseason. So the Jets are watching Green Bay here to see what Aaron's going to do. They really like Derek Carr. They do. And you know, you look at this Jets roster, I don't have to tell you, Key, you can see that they are so close to going really far if they can figure this out at the quarterback position. And that's what they said to Derek Carr in their pitch. It was your individual accomplishments and the things that you want to attain can be endless.
So why not sign
if you come
so
here.
Why not just offer
because
him a contract?
It takes two to tango, Key. Derek Carr is sitting here going, I've got options. Why would he want to be the first quarterback to sign in terms of his contract, right? He probably wants 35-plus, right, in that range.
He's worth that.
He is. He absolutely
Especially
is worth that.
Especially the Jets. Or Carolina or the Saints.
But there's teams that are in need right now. So why not see what pans out here in Green Bay? Derek is in no rush. He doesn't need to be because there's a need for him. So I heard he likes the Jets. He obviously loves the roster, the run game, the skill players, these young guys. It's just going to come down to where he feels he can get paid the most money and where he can go and win.
But wait, Diana, so let's stay right there because real quick, if I'm the Jets, Derek Carr might be my best option other than Lamar, right, who knows if he'll be available. Because Aaron Rodgers, maybe he's there for 2 years. He puts you through the ringer in the offseason. You're going to have to give up a boatload to get him, et cetera. Maybe get two bites at the apple. Maybe you get to an AFC championship. Derek Carr I might have for 4 or 5 years. I don't need him to do so much. Just play nice quarterback, lead in the locker room, those kind of things. Why not lock him down, come with your best offer now and get him?
Yeah, that you would think that would make sense. I don't know if the Jets have offered him just yet. All I know is they met, they talked, they discussed the potential of what he can bring to the team, what he could accomplish individually. I spoke to Jets owner Woody Johnson last week in Arizona, and you know he basically essentially understands, just the way the rest of us, that Aaron Rodgers is a special talent. And if there's an opportunity to bring someone at that level of ability to New York, you have to see. You have to research that. You can't.
She's pretty.
Yeah, that's what Key says. As when I make the whole pitch, he eventually says about Aaron Rodgers, she's pretty. All right. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Thank you, Diana. How much is too much for Daniel Jones is the question. KJM.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive.
eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Here are my real rankings. It's the NBA players under the most pressure to win a title.
Number 5.
The LA Clippers. If I have to choose one player in the Clippers, I'll take Russell Westbrook.
Number 4.
Joel Embiid.
Number 3.
Jason Tatum.
Number 2.
KD.
Number 1.
Nikola Jokic. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. We're joined by Chris Canty, co-host of Canty and Carlin, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. Super Bowl champion, of course, Chris Canty.
I appreciate that, Max.
Hey,
proper introduction. First of all,
I appreciate the Super Bowl championship.
My man, we got to address something real quick, though.
Yeah.
Because your fearless leader, my former producer, Shannon Penn, who works on this show now, always texts me a reminder for my hit on Wednesdays with you guys when I'm doing TV or whatever, you know, when I'm coming through, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there wondering myself, I come into this studio every single time I'm down at the Seaport.
Yep.
Why does he need to text me for a reminder?
That's a good question, Shannon. Why?
Catching strays over here. Just minding my business, making sure to run down straight. And can't he? Anywho.
So he's just. He's
so
just,
he has no explanation.
Oh, he's just making sure he's like, buttoned up.
But I understand. This feels like a little bit of CYA with Shannon Penn because I come in here every single time, even when I'm not scheduled to be on with you guys. I come into the studio because I love you guys' show. I listen every single morning.
You also have complained about this in the past on the air.
Yeah, it feels passive aggressive. Like I'm irresponsible or something. Mm. Like I didn't have Tom Coughlin as my head coach, who required us to be there 5 minutes before the
meeting
started.
Yeah, if you weren't 5 minutes early, you were late.
Yeah, if you weren't 5 minutes early, you'd get fined. And it was $500 per minute. You miss 5 minutes, you miss the meeting, that's 20 grand. Like, that was my head coach. And I never got fined by TC. So if I'm always on time, and I have been always on time, never missed a day of work in 11 years in the National Football League, why the hell does Shannon Penn need to text me 7:20 that I need to be in the studio by 7:30?
He won't answer, so I have an answer for you.
Okay.
Okay, ready? It has to do with corporate culture. Ready?
Help me out, because I've never been a part of corporate culture.
What I noticed about it is you put everything in writing in emails and texts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now your bases are covered. So when your boss comes, if anything ever happens, hey, what happened? Let's see this.
Exact. So what is that? CYA, right?
Yep.
That is CYA.
Yeah, but don't blame him. It's not.
Come on, man.
Hate the player. Hate the game.
He's covering his rear end. That's all.
Chris Canty has a lot to say. Who other than Shannon, who's under the most pressure right now?
Right.
To win a title. I see, to me, it's always the guys who are still mostly themselves. Uh-huh. The guys like Chris Paul, but Chris Paul's still good, but he's not top five player Chris Paul anymore, right? Who's under the most pressure to win a title?
Oh, man, I mean, CP3 is up there, right? I mean, think about the last several postseasons with the Suns. He's always gotten hurt at the most inopportune times in the playoffs.
That's
so,
right.
Like, he's under pressure to stay healthy and available, but to also finish the drill. This might be his best chance at being able to get a championship.
We see that every year.
If these guys can't make it work in Phoenix over the next couple of years.
But see, KD.
It's on all of them.
No, no,
it's
what
on
I'm saying
all
is,
of them, Max.
What I'm saying is the main pressure. KD got airdropped into a 73-win team that had already won a championship, right?
Stop.
But the point is that's not the same as winning a championship, say, the way LeBron did against Golden State the year before, right?
Uh-huh.
So So then he tried to make it work in Brooklyn. It didn't work out. He couldn't do it in OKC when he was younger, even though they had a great team in 16, right? And he and Westbrook didn't play great down the stretch in game 6 or 7 on the road. But so now he's on a regular super team, not a super duper team like the Warriors, a regular super team with great teammates. I think KD's got to win the chip. He's still KD. Chris Paul really ain't Chris Paul the way we once knew him anymore.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but KD is already a champion.
Yes.
You can't diminish his championship, yeah. Max. You can't diminish championships.
No, Max.
No, especially with his finals MVP.
Not one athlete that's going to come on this show is going to be like, yeah, KD was parachuted in. No.
Okay, that's fine. No. I'm not an athlete. But here's the other thing.
Here's the other thing I'll say to that. And our former head coach, Bill Parcells, said this all the time to us. The best talent doesn't always make the best teams, right, but the best teams always win. You can't diminish KD's championships with the Golden State Warriors. So
When you even say he won the MVP, you have literally, this is literal, the two best shooters of all time on your team. So
what?
You can't defend KD, who's indefensible anyway, when you got Steph and Klay on the team.
Okay, pick
and by the way, the MVP of the first series, LeBron was the best player on either team in the first series.
We have so many other things to criticize KD for. Why are we criticizing him for winning championships?
I'm not criticizing him. I'm saying the pressure is on him in Phoenix
I don't see it that way, Max.
Okay, Steph won before and after KD was there.
Sure.
KD's been on a lot of really good teams throughout his career. The only time he won was in Golden State, which was probably the best team of all time, right? I think he needs it. I think there's pressure for him to win away from Golden State.
CP3 needs it more because he hasn't gotten one.
Yeah.
You can't be the greatest at all this other stuff, and then that ring you don't have.
See, that's why I think it's Westbrook got more pressure.
It's hard.
Because people already think Chris Paul's one of the greatest ever. Westbrook averaged a triple-double 3 consecutive years. Not thought of that way. If he chips up right now.
Nobody's talking about Westbrook needs one. Everybody.
Yeah, he can average a triple-double, but what does that mean when you get to the postseason?
That's what I'm saying. That's why he needs one.
Max is talking about CP3. Nobody's mentioning Westbrook but you.
Exactly. No one even thinks about the dude in the same way. But maybe they should. If he wins a chip, they will,
Can't he? How much pressure is on the Giants to get a deal done with Daniel Jones?
Oh, there's a lot of pressure on that. But I don't understand why the Giants are in a hurry to commit a 9-figure pack to Daniel Jones when you've only had one good season out of the 4 years he's been in the tri-state area. That's the one thing that I can't get past.
Because his numbers will keep going up.
The number can keep going up, but I need more information before I'm sold on Daniel Jones definitively being the future of my franchise at quarterback.
But they got that information already based on practice, based on watching film,
games. I don't see it that way, Key. Coming into this season, he had 50 total touchdowns to 49 total turnovers, and he had missed time in each of his first 3 years. This was the first year that he didn't miss a game due to injury. And we're talking about this being his best year. He had 15 passing touchdowns.
Yeah, but
Here's the thing. 22 total touchdowns. He had single-digit turnovers. That's the best thing we can say.
Starting in December in the whole league.
You know how hard.
That's
Max.
Carson Wentz 2 years ago had a top 10 QBR. And what kind of quarterback is Carson Wentz?
I want to get to something you said about long term. You're right. You can't commit to Daniel Jones for 5-6 years.
Yeah.
But who's going to be better for this team over the next 2 to 3 years?
Let me find out what Daniel Jones is this year on a $32.5 million franchise tag. What's wrong with
you? You're going to lose Saquon if you do that.
No, I'm not.
Eat up a lot of the cap, though.
No, I'm not.
Hey, can you stick around?
A lot of the cap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can you stick around?
What?
Here.
Yeah,
can
I got you.
Stick
you.
Around
I
here?
Got you. I got you.
All right, Shannon's about to send you a text asking you if you can stick around. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, Chris Canty sticking around.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
How much pressure is on the Giants to get a deal done with Daniel Jones?
Oh, there's a lot of pressure on that. But I don't understand why the Giants are in a hurry to commit a nine-figure pack to Daniel Jones when you've only had one good season out of the 4 years he's been in the tri-state area.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Chris Canty is sticking around, co-host of Canty and Carlin, and you can hear that fine program
said no
3
one
to 7
ever,
p.m.
Keyshawn.
Eastern on ESPN Radio. The Canter.
The Canter. Said no one ever.
You know what I was going to ask you before we went to break, though, if you tie up $32 million in the salary cap space on Daniel Jones, it's going to somewhat handicap you to be able to sign your own guys and free agents back. Because remember, that number immediately is absorbed through the salary cap. That number shrinks your salary cap availability to go out and sign free agents, draft picks, and even some of your own players you got to retain.
Key, what do you always say about the salary cap?
Kick it down the road.
Exactly. So
you can't if you sign them, if you tag them. What he's saying is you move money around.
I've already done the exercise. I wouldn't say this unless I already did the exercise. So what you do is you extend Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas because you have the opportunity to. You try to lower their salary cap hits in 2023. You cut Kenny Golladay and you
get that money back, whatever that is.
Yeah, exactly. And you figure out what you're going to do with Leonard Williams. Now, I don't know if it's a pay cut. I don't know if it's an extension.
How good do you think Leonard Williams is?
You're cutting him, but you're probably moving off of him. You do those things. You do those four things, and then all of a sudden, you got the cap space to stomach Daniel Jones' $32.5 million franchise tag on top of being able to do some other shopping.
But, Chris, if let's say you could come to an arrangement at 75-ish guaranteed, spread it out over 3 years.
That ain't gonna work,
even if it's an average of close to 40 over three years.
Huh. Not going to happen.
Okay, so add another year. The point is, the worst thing that could happen is he regresses and you have an expensive backup who knows the system, who can handle the city.
You're going to wind up drafting $40 million for a backup?
No, your quarterback room is going to come in still, even if you draft a guy in the range of what quarterback room is coming in.
But why can a guy $40 million to sit on the bench?
What better option is there going to be for the Giants at quarterback over the next 24 months?
But here's my point. First of all, you don't know that. Second of all, franchise tag him. Give yourself options after the 2023 season based on what he shows you.
Yeah,
But I'm not willing.
You still have options.
But I got enough.
But it's not going to keep you. It's not going to.
You're not going to sign a quarterback. You're going to draft a guy.
The franchise tag is not going to preclude you from doing whatever.
But I got enough information, Canty. I got enough information on Daniel Jones.
How can you be so? Here's the thing.
But if I'm a coach,
how can you say you have
enough information?
How can you say that when the guy had 15 touchdown passes?
But I know he had.
You had the 26th ranked passing offense.
That's going.
Hold on, let me say this.
To develop him and put things around him so those numbers can go up.
Yeah, he didn't have a receiver.
We tailored it that way.
But here's the thing. If I'm paying a guy $40 million a year, does everything have to be ideal? I got to have the best offensive line. I got to have the best receiver.
No, but you need at least a receiver.
I got to have the best running back. Stop yourself.
But you need a receiver.
Well, here's my point, man.
You need a receiver.
I'm not saying he doesn't need more weapons. I'm not saying that. But 15 touchdown passes, the 26th ranked scoring.
Because they were good in the red zone.
The 26th ranked passing offense. There was one other passing offense that made the playoffs that wasn't in the top half of passing offenses in the National Football League year. Do you know who that was last year?
But that's by design.
That was the Baltimore Ravens, and they missed Lamar Jackson for six games. Yep. It's not sustainable.
The Giants, it's not sustainable with the passing game. The Giants were not good at matriculating the ball down the field, but they were good once they got to the red zone. Now, if you think that's luck, you think that's luck. I think Daniel Jones played well.
You're saying it's by design.
It's by design. We understand, and I say we, I'm on the staff now.
Okay.
I'm the coach. Mm-hmm. I understand what I have. I can't put us in harm's way. I have to do things a certain way because we don't have the necessary weapons. We don't have certain things that will put more touchdowns on the board, score at a higher clip and volume. That's what they do. They tailor it to make sure that things go the way it needs.
Chris, how do you look to you?
You're basically putting the reins on the quarterback.
Because I'm not going to put him in harm's way. Until we,
so I got to pay that guy $40 million?
Because to, we're going to go out.
I got to pay a guy $40 million that I have to protect via the
yes,
play, the game
Yes, because we're
going to
go out and we're going to go get DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to draft Rasheed Rice from SMU. We're going to take a look and see if OBJ is available. We're going to go get a different defense alignment, some more secondary guys.
You can go do
guys.
All of those things and still franchise tag Daniel Jones.
Chris,
what's the hurry in signing
Chris,
him?
Because
I
I'm going to not want to pay him $60 million after he does everything that we think he's going to do when we get the players around
him. This really comes down to is what you suspect. Chris, when you look at Daniel Jones, when I thought, all right, the ship has sailed on upper end ability, you know, like possibilities with him.
Yeah.
I take that back. Based on what I saw, I'm very curious to know what he does with an alpha receiver, like a real guy. What do you suspect, having watched him this past season? I thought I was very impressed. I thought he played very well. What did you think?
I thought he played well. He showed flashes of playmaking ability, and the best thing that I can say is that he didn't put the ball in harm's way.
Yeah. There was pressure to.
Yeah, I mean, he saw that early on in the season, and Brian Daboll found a way to curve it. Remember the regular season opener against Tennessee? He throws that red zone pick, and then all of a sudden, all of those silly turnovers start to go away. And so I think it has more to do with Brian Daboll's influence coupled with the development of the offensive line than anything else. But I got to ask myself, based on what I saw Brian Daboll do with Josh Allen and based on what I've seen him do in year one with Daniel Jones, I don't know that you have to go out and pay Daniel Jones $40 million.
In other words, you can get someone else and you can do the same thing with him?
I'm not going to say the same thing, but I will say this. I think Daniel Jones and what we saw this year is more a product of great coaching and solid program development. I think that they legitimately limited some of the things they did on offense because they feel like Daniel Jones is somewhat of a limited player.
I don't look at it that way. I look at it, they didn't have players around him enough to push the envelope. That's the way I look at it.
I would say,
here's the thing.
I agree.
Why not take 2023 and prove that? That's the part that nobody makes sense to me.
Because
like you're talking about a 3 or 4 year deal, but if you find out in 2023 that, hey, 2022 was the outlier and not the norm for what we can expect from the player, now you have to deal with all that dead money from the contract. What's wrong with taking 2023 to find out?
I got enough data on him.
You
already
got 1 year.
No, you got one year
and 4 seasons.
I got 4 seasons, and I got the year that we have been with him, and I could take from those 4 seasons of the things he did well and look at this season and say to myself, everybody's looking for a quarterback. There's not a lot of them out there. We got one. Why are we getting ready to screw this up when we got one?
Wait, Chris, I want to know. I want to know what you say about limited player. When you say limited player, I know what you mean. How much of that, though? Because I throw away early seasons, terrible coaching staff, no O-line, no all that stuff. This is the first time he had a real shot. I thought he played very well, actually. But I know what you mean about limited. They protected and they limited what they did. How much of that is the circumstance, though? Do you believe there's upside? Because when I look at his arm, I look at his legs, I look at his decision-making, all those things, I think, good, good, good. He's processing better. Everything's better. Do you think there's upside, or do you think it'll always be limited?
Well, here's what I'll say. Guys, if you're paying your quarterback $40 million a year or more, there's always going to be some area of deficiency on the offensive side of the ball. Early on in his career, it wasn't the skill position players. It was the offensive line. Now the offensive line is solid. You're saying it's the skill.
Yeah.
The quarterback has got to overcome something.
It's well argued.
And my point is, let's see if he can overcome some things. You get him a number one receiver. You got the offensive line in place. Let's see what he does with that moving forward.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. That's Chris Canty. Canty and Carlin, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Right here on ESPN.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.